Hey, you're listening to Mom, Wife, and Boss Life, where we have unfiltered conversations. I am your host, Yolanda Villa. Today we have Tara Williams, who founded Dreamland Baby in 2018. She's also has appeared on Shark Tank. I'm glad to talk to you today and talk more about how all this started.
Yes, thank you so much for having me here today. I'm excited to chat all things Dreamland Baby.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So before starting this company, I spent the last 10 years in medical device market development. So completely different world. I was working with surgeons, nothing e-commerce, nothing consumer product. It was really one-on-one clinical trials and different medical devices to help patients in surgeries. I have four. Yeah, I know. I always joked, I wish I had come up with this with my first child, so then I could use it with all my other children for social media, you know, and all the fun marketing things and have them in all my photos. But no, it was actually my fourth. So my first three children slept fairly well. I mean, as good as you can sleep for a newborn. It was my baby who was up every hour and a half at 6 months old. And so I one night had a heavy throw blanket on my couch in my living room. And my husband and I were just watching TV. Other kids were in bed. And I put the heavy throw blanket on my son at 6 months. He was 6 months old. So little baby at the time. And his face just completely went calm. Like he just had this like serene look. And it was something I had never seen with him because he was always colicky or he was tired and like, you know, that overtired where they're crying and they're just fussy.
Just restless. Yeah.
That's right. So immediately he calmed down and I thought right away he needs a weighted blanket. So I was really excited because I felt like that was the answer. At this point, we had bought everything. We had tried everything. Like I was exhausted. And so I got online and couldn't find a wearable version. So there's loose weighted blankets, but one that baby could safely wear. So, you know, it would be not possible to migrate on their face because of the armholes that anchor it down on the shoulder. And so I called my mother-in-law and she made the first one. It took her a couple of weeks, but then the first night he wore it, he slept for 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So it was like this incredible, almost too good to be true sleep transformation. We thought maybe a fluke, but then the next night he slept the same way. So that was the start of the company.
Okay. That's exciting. Yeah. Cause I just had my daughter just turned one. Yes, the whole, you know, sleeping, restless, you know, you're trying to figure out what to do. I completely understand you. So how did you go about this once you went ahead? Was it something that you just went ahead and did it for you? Has, you know, told friends?
Yeah. So it was really interesting because in my time with medical devices, I had worked for a couple startups. So I was not, it was not a new concept to me to start a company, which I know not everyone, I think you hear a lot of stories where people say, oh, I accidentally fell into this, or, you know, I came up with this idea and it was just something I wanted for myself. But I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I was a finance major in college and I went to an entrepreneurial school and I had a few different side businesses and I worked for startups, and just the whole high growth startup is very appealing to me and it's exciting. And so I would say at my core, I'm a business person over a creative. I mean, I think some of the first people I hired was for Instagram because I don't go on social media. I can't figure this out, but I love to talk to anybody and like jumping on podcasts. Like I'm totally an extrovert. So this is super fun for me, but just, I'm not creative in terms of creating styles and things like that. No, it wasn't an unusual concept. And funny enough, or not funny, but while I was on maternity leave with my son, Luke, I was let go my company. We didn't get funding. I was at the startup. And so they basically shut their doors. Uh-huh. So I don't even know what you'd call that, let go. I mean, it was just the job's gone. And right. I do remember it was a few days before I went on maternity leave. And they said, and I was actually the only female at the company. And they said, hey guys, start interviewing because the funding, like we might not get our second round of, like we literally ran out of money. We might not get our second round of funding. So we want everyone to, you know, give you a heads up. If we get it, like we'll keep soldiering on, but there's a chance we won't. And I remember I was like 38 weeks pregnant. I'm like, who am I interviewing with right now?
Right.
So let it be. It all works out the way it should. I'm going to just go on maternity leave. And so about 2 months into my maternity leave, you know, I got the call that they said, hey, there's, you know, it's winding down. There's really nothing to come back to. And so it wasn't shocking because the writing was on the wall, but it was obviously disappointing and then put me in a position where I thought, okay, I'm going to, you know, need to really look into finding another, and I loved that job, another job. And so then I thought of this and it felt, although it sounds maybe like the worst time to start a job when you have no money, it ended up being really, it ended up being good.
How were you able to incorporate a baby and, you know, this great idea comes to you starting a business?
Yeah. Well, it was a really interesting time because my husband also got laid off, which from his job.
We have similar stories. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I want to hear yours. He was with his job for 14 years. So that was more shocking. And it was actually, I had a scheduled induction for my son, Luke, and my husband was laid off the day before he was born. So it was like, oh, wow. And then we knew maybe I'd be laid off. So all of a sudden we found both of us with no income, 4 kids, 5 and under, and this baby who was just relentlessly crying all day and all night. So it was, when I look back, a darker period of, you know, my adult life and my marriage with my husband and as being a mom, I was really unhappy. But so much good came out of it because being able to experience motherhood in the first 6 months in a positive way, how I did with my first 3 children, and take out the fact that we were jobless and we had no money, you know, take that out. While that is a huge stressor, it was really the sleep piece. So my kids, again, you don't expect a newborn to sleep, but they, and in hindsight, I'm like, they would have totally benefited from this, but it was so dramatic with my son, because he was not sleeping virtually at all. But when I look back on my time with my first 3, it was a beautiful experience. I loved, you know, I had an easy time breastfeeding them and cuddling with them, and I felt a connection and they were sleeping okay. I was still tired, but it was really just a great experience. And I really loved those moments and those newborn smells. And, you know, I was very happy. And then when I contrast that to my time with Luke, while I still nursed him okay, I know that's a big thing for people, that was fine, but it was that he wasn't sleeping. And so I was not sleeping. And then I had 3 other children who still had to go to school and get up in the morning and be fed. And so I was still waking up every day at 7 o'clock. And I just felt, I was really actually angry, which when I share this, it makes me feel horrible, but I was mad at my newborn baby. I was mad at him that he wouldn't sleep. Cause I was like, enough, like just go to sleep. Like I was up with him all night long. And because I was breastfeeding, there really wasn't a lot my husband could do. So it was like, you know, he's up, he's eating, he's not eating. And by the time he got closer to 6 months, it wasn't like I was feeding him all night anymore. Like he could sleep through the night. So, you know, it was just, I was just really mad. And then I was exhausted during the day, and that, you know, it really just trickles down. I mean, for me, I like to get up in the morning. I like to put on some makeup. I like to like get ready for the day. I work out later in the day. And I wasn't doing any of those things. I was a bad mom. I was a bad wife. I was a bad friend. And knowing how great the experience can be, and then living through this really terrible experience, I just felt so strongly that this product literally changed my life. Like within a week, he was sleeping through the night and I was like back to myself. You know, I was getting up, I was getting dressed, I was doing the things, I was reaching out to friends. I was like, oh, you know, baby sleeping, like I can do something. Right. I can take her in my house or spend time with her kids even. So it was so immediate that like literally after a week, I was like, I'm back. And I just know like so many parents are going through that, and being able to see both sides, I just felt so compassionate for those other parents. And I'm like, I don't ever want someone to experience this if they don't have to. So I kind of took my underlying desire to be an entrepreneur and start a business, and the fact that I had this incredible product that, you know, I invented, I got a utility patent on, that it was just so unique and different from what's on the market. And, you know, as much as you start a business and you're like, oh, I want to start it for money or to be my own boss, like I didn't pay myself for 2 years. I also didn't have childcare help for 2 years because I couldn't pay somebody to watch my kids until I could make money. And right. I couldn't, you know, literally for 2 years. So it's not something where it's like, oh, I'm going to start a business and like make money right away. And even now I take a much lower salary than I did in my previous jobs. So it's really, you know, the North Star of the why behind what keeps me going every day is those customer service emails we get from people that were me with my son.
Right.
You changed my life. You gave me my life back. Or like grandparents, I gifted this to my daughter and it has changed her life, or my son. And that's, I think as an entrepreneur, you always need something that's going to keep you going. And that, cause it's hard. It's hard.
It is, definitely. Yeah.
And that's what keeps me going, for sure.
How was that from, you know, from an idea to Shark Tank? How did that go about?
Yeah. So, I think I would always tell people, you know, don't quit your job, right? I would, if I had still had my job, I would not have quit working until probably I could pay myself. So that 2 years, I would have probably kept another job. But because I was laid off, it probably fast-tracked the growth of the company because I did work on it full-time. And when I say full-time, I was also watching 4 kids full-time, right? So like being a mom is a full-time job. So I was doing both. And I had some time to, you know, the first thought was like, this is such a great, everyone said, how does that not exist? This is such a great idea. Or like, I would want that product. And that's what inspired me to say, you know, I could really help other people with it. And so the first thing I did was look at a patent because I just thought it's so obvious that someone has to already have the rights to this. And shockingly, there was no, you know, nobody had done it or pulled it. And so we did a provisional patent, which basically gives you like a year to really finalize your idea. And then a year later, we filed for the utility patent. And then after that, I went into full clinical mode, which was probably a little bit overboard, but I was really looking. I mean, I met with pediatricians and pulmonologists and certified sleep consultants, NICU nurses, because weighted components have been used in the NICU for probably 20 years. So it was really like anyone who had touched anything with weighted components, occupational therapists. So I spent a lot of time meeting with physicians, and it wasn't that, again, was probably something most people wouldn't do, but it was a second nature to me because that has what I've done my entire career. And then I really wanted a clinical trial to be done. And one had been published in October of 2018. And so after all my medical research and the clinical trial had been done, we partnered with that hospital. So now they're actually running a clinical trial with our product. So that one used like a loose 1 pound weighted blanket. But then I went to figure out how to actually manufacture the product, which is a whole, you know,
different thing.
Yeah. And then in terms of design, I mean, it's, if you look at our original compared to what we have today, it's basically the same thing. Obviously the design has been refined, but, and as not creative as I am, I did design all of it. And then we just, you know, each batch, I changed something like really small. So if it's like, we made the zipper 1/8 of an inch or even less smaller, or we made the neckline like a tiny bit bigger, like every time we get customer feedback. I mean, the amazing thing about having an e-commerce business is you have a direct line to hear what your customers want. So I have done nothing that customers haven't asked for. Like they ask for bigger sizes. They ask for a weighted blanket. They wanted solid colors. The only thing we've ever brought to market is what our customers are asking for. And I think that's a huge piece of our success because we're not just bringing out things to bring them out. It's what people are asking. So we've always listened to the customers. Yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of along the way. And then Shark Tank aired in May of 2020. And that was a complete game changer for us. So the night we aired was during COVID. It was on a Friday and it was the season finale. So people were literally like looking for
the point.
Yeah. In lockdown. And so, and that was like the true lockdown. Remember when you like, where you couldn't leave your house.
I'm in San Francisco.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. I'm in Danville. Yeah. So we're in the same area and it was truly a lockdown. So it was just such, I mean, I felt like truly all the stars aligned for us. And then from there, I feel like we've been in a rocket ship ever since. Nordstrom was the first big box to pick us up. They saw us on the show and wanted us in store. And then from there, it was just a cascade. Every store wanted to sell us. Yeah.
How do you deal with all that and your 4 children? Because when people think, you know, motherhood's already tough as it is, you know, dividing your time with the newborn and your kids, your husband, and then a career. Now, you know, how do you divide that?
It's interesting because as women, like first off, as a man, nobody would ever ask you that, right?
Right.
But as a woman, it's a valid question because as much as me and my husband both work full time, I mean, I'm doing the kids' schedule and organizing everything for them. They're not going on play dates without me organizing that or kind of for sports. But I always want to be very transparent that I do have full-time 45-hour a week help. And we have, you know, somebody who she lives with us, and it's called au pair, and it's young women who live international and then they come to the United States and live in your house. There's actually programs in the US that are really similar to that. So she's a US person, and mm-hmm. she's fantastic. And she is like a second version of me. So we have this, this app, it's called Cozy.
Mm-hmm.
And so her and I work together to get all the kids stuff in there, and it has alarms. And I mean, even it has, like, she goes to Costco once a week for us. So she really supplements a lot of the things I would do as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I work every day from about 7 to 7. So I don't want to give the illusion that, you know, having the business at the scale and how fast our company is growing, it just happens. It doesn't. It's a lot of hard work and a lot of hours, and it's a lot of sacrifice. Like, I am fully aware that I am sacrificing time with my kids and my husband. I used to also work on the weekends, but I've pulled back on that. So on Friday, usually about 5 or 6, I don't typically work till 7 on Friday, I will end my day. And then I do not look at my computer again until Monday morning. And that's like really sacred time for me every weekend, where I am completely in with my family and my husband, and we schedule fun things. And, you know, I would say travel probably more like than I ever have before, because just even if it's like, we're going to the beach, right? Like we just plan things on the weekends. And so sometimes when I say that, I feel like, man, I feel guilty, and you know, I'm giving this message where I'm like choosing my work over my kids. But I just always want to be really honest and say, like, you can't build a business to this scale without sacrificing something. And so mm-hmm. I look at this like it's short term, and each time I hire a new person, I can work a little bit less, a little bit less, until I'm hoping to get back down to kind of that normal, you know, 7 to 5, maybe instead of 7 to 7. But I definitely have, you know, a lot of help for sure.
And I'm glad you say that and that you're open with that, because that's something that I've been looking into, because I'm, you know, my husband owns a business and I'm starting my own wellness, you know, company. And I've been looking into that, even though my daughter's 1 year old, I have a teenager, or, you know, and a fourth grader. I know what it takes, the sacrifice that it takes to sit there, you know, because people say, you know, we work after hours, and by the time the kids go to sleep, you know, I stay up. But, you know, to level up to another degree, which what we did with the original business, it takes a lot of time. And I've always talked about outsourcing whatever you can.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I read this, I'm trying to think of the name of the book, and it was talking about a whole bunch of things and within business and raising your kids. And it said, a lot of people now are sending their kids for after school, you know, tutoring and private lessons, and they're becoming so special. It was a book about specialization and how you actually don't need to be specialized, and especially at a young age. But you know, my daughter plays soccer, for example. And so she made the travel team when she was in first grade, which is really young.
Yeah.
And they practice 3 to 5 times per week between practice and games. So it's a huge commitment, and it almost does not allow her to do any other sport. So we've tried to do other things like that's more rec based, like she was doing basketball once a week, but then she's doing something every day, and it's a lot because she's, you know, a little kid. But it talked about and said, you know, if you're outsourcing like every part of your life and you're outsourcing your kids, it said, who is their parent really? And it was one of these moments that it just like totally, it was such like a gut punch where you're like, oh my gosh, if you are outsourcing who raises your kids, like who is their parent? Is it you? Right. And so I am being very divisive on how I'm raising my kids in this statement, but it was something where I took a step back. And from that, I realized, yes, I am outsourcing the bulk of the day. And like, I put my kids to bed every night and we read books and we spend between 7 and 8:30 every night together as a family with my husband. Like, that time is sacred. But what I have decided is I'm going to schedule in my kids, which sounds really crazy, but I schedule in a date night with my husband at least a couple of times a month. And like, if we don't put it on the calendar, it doesn't happen. So I have actively decided, like, I'm going to I'm going to go into my kids' classes mm-hmm. one day a week, because I don't have that much more time. They're in first, second, and third that I can mm-hmm. volunteer. So I go into each of their class. So it ends up almost being once a week, because I have three kids in school. And so I will volunteer for the opportunities are like 30 minutes to an hour. And they just love that. And then once a month, we do a special day, like me with each of one of my kids. So I got a pedicure with one of my daughters a few weeks ago on a Saturday morning. So it's just like everybody's getting that special one-on-one time. Yeah. So I feel like while I am working most of the time, I'm so intentional about the time that I do spend with them.
Yeah.
Which then leads to another problem where it's like almost burnout, because I am always on, either at work or with my kids or on a date with my husband.
Right.
So the self-care part is what I need to work on.
But You'll get there. Because we're
in the full emotional range right there.
Yeah, because I think right now when you said, I think that's the most important thing, the quality versus the quantity that you spend with everybody around you to make it work. Right. And I think sometimes like ourselves, we put ourselves sometimes like the guilt trip of, like you say, you know, your self-care might not be there, but at least, you know, I'm sure to you, it feels good that, hey, I spend time with my daughter. I spend time, you know, with my husband, and I'm still, you know, growing this business.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So what's one advice that you wished someone would have told you regarding, you know, being an entrepreneur?
For my business specifically, like our biggest problem has always been inventory. And, you know, I launched it on our website the end of 2019. I wish somebody had told me order two or three times as much inventory as you would need, because we are constantly out of stock. And you would think at this point, like we've been doing it for, you know, since the end of 2019, almost 2 full years, that we would have figured it out by now, or 2.5 years. But it's just every time we launch something new, like we can never anticipate how much people will want it or won't want it. And so there's always like a fine balance. That's a really specific example. If you have an e-commerce business, that, I mean, I think that's good advice. But some more general advice, I would have, if I could have gone back and changed something, I would have hired people sooner. I know bringing on a full-time W-2 employee with healthcare and benefits is always this really big decision, because then the business is no longer just you. It's you are, the success or failure is providing for somebody and their entire family. So but I will say, as soon as I brought one person on, then I hire a new person pretty much every 6 weeks. Which sounds really fast, but it's just, we're growing at that rate. And so to have now at this point, I'm like totally confident that, you know, we'll have enough money to pay everybody. And what I've realized is every person that comes in essentially pays for themselves mm-hmm. and they move the business forward and they take something off my plate. So I did not make my first hire until May of 2021. So I ran the business by myself. I mean, I had one or two, like outsourced contractors, but it was effectively by myself. And that, I think we would be in a much different place if I had brought people on sooner. So I would say order more inventory than you think you need and hire sooner than you think you need.
So where can people find you online and, you know, follow you, or, you know, follow, where can they shop?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are pretty active on, I would say, Instagram is our best. We're trying to be more on TikTok. So follow us there. We need some follows. And it's all Dreamland Baby Co. And then our website is dreamlandbabyco.com. And we have our interactive like chat bots. We have 4 customer service people who are amazing, and they're all moms who actually all use the product. So you know, really help answer questions. And I would say those are the best places to find us.
Well, it was great chatting with you. Your story, I love, you know, how open you were.
No, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Mom, Wife, and Boss Life podcast. You can continue the conversation online by searching Mom, Wife, and Boss Life on social media or visiting our website at momwifeandbosslife.com. Thank you.